Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, I don't know if many of you know, Dad and I, we are involved in this thing called CrossFit. Has anybody ever heard of CrossFit before? Some of you, it's a kind of a workout program. And Dad and I, we do it pretty much 5 to 6 days a week. We love it. It's fitness. It has all this stuff like metabolic conditioning, where you're moving weights fast, quickly, push-ups, burpees, rope climbs, pull-ups. It's a lot of fun. And we do that all the time. And a couple of years ago, I went to take an actual course on a weekend for CrossFit, and it was basically teaching you how to be a trainer and how to show people how to do exercises correctly. So in your normal like CrossFit workout, you'll do a couple strength exercises before you get into the really bad metabolic conditioning stuff, right? And so those strength exercises are back squat, deadlift, something like that. You'll do a certain amount of reps or a certain amount of sets, you know. And so at this conference, they were trying to show us how to teach people to do this stuff without injury, right? Okay? And so one of the first things that they taught us was the back squat. Does everybody know what a back squat is? No. Okay. A back squat. Okay. So Neil, come on, Neil. Come on. Yeah, come on. Give Neil a hand clap. He didn't know I was going to use it tonight. So back squat, a lot of people will say that it's kind of the greatest indicator of GPP, or that would be like general physical preparedness, okay? It's kind of this overall indicator of your physical fitness. And Neil is very fit. He works out all the time, I know. But we don't have a bar here tonight, but just show everybody what a functional, you know, squat looks like, okay? Yep. To the side. Yeah, to the side, right there. Yep. He's got a bar on his back, 45 pounds. Okay. Okay, you see that below parallel, right? Okay, give Neil a hand clap, okay? So stay right here, Neil. I still got you here. Okay, so Neil did a squat for us, right? He went below parallel. Did you see how good his form was? Did you see how his back was straight like that, right? Okay, so imagine Neil's got a 45-pound bar on his back, and then we start to increase the load, okay? So we put, let's say, a pair of 45s on there, and now we're at 135 pounds. Neil does another back squat, right? And then, go ahead, Neil. Yeah, you can go for it. Yeah, man, awesome. No problem at all. Okay, let's say we put another couple 45 pounds on there. He's at 225 pounds now. Does another back squat. You got this. Come on, the crowd, give him a cheer. Woo! All right. Now, something happens as the load increases. For those of us that aren't fit, as the load increases, go ahead, Neil, go down to the bottom of a squat, right? So let's say now we put 25s on there on each side. He's at 275. So as the load increases for a lot of people, I want you to come up to half, about halfway up, stop, and now kind of fold over. You ever seen anybody do that? Sorry to put you in this uncomfortable position. So then the backside, the load increases. When they come, they'll come up like this, and they actually start folding over, right? You see how Neil's doing that? What happens is he's asking for a huge injury right here. Okay? So if you ever see somebody doing that in the gym, you better help them out, right? That's too heavy. So go ahead, Neil. Thank you. Give Neil a hand clap, right? So what they taught us in this class was if you see people doing like, that's one of the big, big wrong things that we see happen in the gym. And they said that when you see that, it's an indicator that they have really bad core strength. Everyone say core strength. Core strength. And when we talk about core strength, we're talking about those muscles in our trunk, right around our spine, and they kind of keep us stable. The weaker we are there, as weight increases, we begin to collapse. As the weight, the pressure increases, if we don't have strong core strength, we collapse. Does that make sense? And so what they told us to do is we have to then focus on those core muscles, right? Your abs, right? We got to do different things like good mornings and different things to build our lower back, to build stability, right? And I thought about this a little bit because lately in the Christian world, we've been seeing all kinds of people kind of fall to the wayside. We've been seeing people collapsing. We've been seeing well-known worship leaders come out and saying, I don't know if I really believe the Bible anymore. We've been seeing authors come out and they, the longer I live in this world, I don't know if I can really trust God's word, or they just throw it all to the side. Been Christians for years, been pastors of churches, right? We see pastors, ministers, evangelists come up with this crazy doctrine. They're collapsing under the pressure. The heat's getting turned up in the world, and instead of standing and fighting, they're falling to the side. And Jesus, he prophesied. He talked about this. If you look at Matthew 24, verses 9 through 14 in the Message, Jesus is prophesying about the times that we're living in right now. He says, they're going to throw you to the wolves and kill you, right? So he's talking about Christian persecution. Did you know that Christians are being killed around the world today? Maybe not here in good old America, but all around the world, there's Christians that are giving their lives for the faith. And then going from bad to worse, it'll be dog eat dog. Everyone at each other's throat, everyone hating each other. Does that sound familiar? Just turn on the news, right? Okay, verse 11. In the confusion, lying preachers will come forward to deceive a lot of people. I just heard yesterday about a documentary that's going to come out about a preacher here in town that's going to be exposing all kinds of stuff. About lying preachers here, right? Then this, look at this part here. For many others, the overwhelming spread of evil will do them in. Nothing left of their love but a mound of ashes. This is the part I like. Staying with it, that's what God requires. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry and you will be saved. Look at your neighbor and say, stay with it. All during this time, the good news, the message of the kingdom will be preached all over the world, a witness staked out in every country, and then the end will come. Another passage of scripture. Is scripture okay, guys? We're going to read a lot of it tonight. Okay, 1 Timothy 4, in the Message, we're going to look here at verse 1. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. He's talking to his young protege, Timothy, about the end times. This is what he says. The Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on their faith. They're going to chase after demonic illusions put forth by professional liars. These liars have lied so well and for so long, they've lost their capacity for the truth. Let's jump down to verse 6. It says, Timothy, you've been raised on the message of faith, the Bible. You've followed sound teaching. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus there, and you'll be a good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. Look at your neighbor and say, get fit. That was pretty weak. Look at your neighbor and say, get fit. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. Man, is that good? Can anybody identify with that right there? It sounds like the world we're living in today. So in the same way that Neil had to have strong core muscles to lift the heavy weight, our big idea for the series the next couple weeks is that in order for us not to collapse, not to fall to the wayside, not to lose our faith, we have to have a strong spirit. We have to have inner strength. Say, strong spirit. Say, inner strength. You know, we are a three-part being. We're made up of a spirit, a soul, right, which is our emotion and mind, and our body. And what I want to focus on is the spirit. Ephesians 3, verse 16 in the Moffat translation says, praying him out of the wealth of his glory to grant you a mighty increase of strength by his spirit in your inner man. I want to become your spiritual trainer for the next couple weeks. Sound good? I want to become your spiritual trainer for the next couple Wednesday nights. Whenever Dad and I work out and he comes over to my garage every day, he drives out to Rice City, I have this dry erase board hanging up in the garage. And it's a whiteboard, we call it. And what we do is we put all the work, the hard work that we've got to do on that whiteboard. And we put those exercises on there and we go after it. And man, we first see it, it can be a bit overwhelming. Oh, wow. Daniel, are you serious? Are you serious? Do you know the kind of day I've had? But you know what? That drudgery, that hard work, it pays off. It pays off. Today, I got to brag a little bit on Dad. He started CrossFit 9 years ago at 56. Okay, yeah, give him a hand clap. Thank you. All right. So he's 65 today, right? Just this last week, he hit 2 new PRs, personal records, at 65 for his entire life. Okay, we're talking deadlift, right, and power clean. Records, right? Now, how many know that just doesn't happen? It's day in, day out, doing it when you don't feel like it. Putting in the work when it's rainy outside, still showing up. Even when you ate a whole bunch of Twinkies and Oreos, you just, man, you want to give up. Is this even worth it? Still showing up. He showed up. And so the same way that Dad built up his body, that's what I want us to do with our spirit. I want us to build up our spirit. But man, it can be hard work. Are you guys game? Do you guys want to survive and thrive or thrive? Do you want to survive or thrive? Do you want to fall to the wayside or stand strong? All right, so we're going to go to work. Amen? Okay, so your spirit, it can be educated just like your mind. Your spirit can be strengthened just like your body, but it doesn't happen instantly. It's going to take time. So I'm going to give you 4 things tonight. How do we strengthen the spirit? This is what we're going to talk about for the next couple weeks. Number one, meditation in the Word. Meditation in the Word. Number two, practicing the Word. Practicing the Word. Number three, giving the Word first place. Everyone say first. Giving the Word first place. Am I moving too fast? You guys got it? Okay, and then number four, by instantly obeying the voice of your spirit. By instantly obeying the voice of your spirit. So tonight's first exercise is not burpees, it's not pull-ups. The first exercise we're going to discuss tonight is meditation in God's Word. Now, meditation, we hear that said all the time, a lot in the church today, meditation on the Word of God. But it's different from just reading the Scripture. The biblical picture of the word meditation is of a cow chewing cud. Do you guys know what that is? You know, cows, I don't know if you knew this, they have several stomachs, right? Several different stomachs. And what they'll do is they'll eat grass. In fact, you know, now that I think about it, every time you see a cow, they're pretty much chewing. They're chewing, right? And there's like green junk coming out of their mouth and everything, nasty stuff, right? But what they do, right, is they eat some grass. They chew on it for a long time, get a bunch of nutrients out of there, swallow it, right? It gets digested a little bit, and they actually regurgitate it up. Everyone goes, yuck. And they chew on it some more, get more of the nutrients out of it. It is gross, right? Swallow it some more, right? And they keep doing this over and over until they get every little thing that they can get out of that grass. That's what meditation on the Word of God is. It's taking a specific passage of Scripture and getting every little thing we can get out of that. It's different from reading. Let's look at Joshua 1, verse 8. This is actually one of my dad's favorite scriptures, Joshua 1, verse 8. Do we have that, guys? Yeah, okay. On the count of three, we're going to read this together like we mean it. 1, 2, 3. This book of the law shall not be hard. Therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. So you see the connection between meditation and success. You see the connection between meditating on God's word and being. There's a connection. Psalms 119, verse 48, it says, I reach out for your commands, God, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Meditation, I want you to understand this. It's different from reading, just reading. So I want to give you right now four requirements of effective meditation on God's word. We're not talking about going home, sitting off in the corner with a Bible laying and like trying to do this like transference of the spirit of the Bible. And we're not talking about this. Okay, I'm going to show you the techniques, just like I would show you how to do a proper squat. We're going to talk about the techniques to do a proper meditation of God's word. Everyone with me? You okay? Because we're not going to just survive, we're going to thrive. Amen? Okay, so here's some requirements. Before I tell you how, I want to show you how to get your environment right. All right, we're setting up the squat rack. Number one, we must make meditation in God's word priority. Everyone say priority. If a doctor, God forbid, came to you and said, Daniel, I found out that you have this disease. It's life-threatening. It's incurable. But Daniel, I have this pill. If you take this miracle drug that I'm giving you right now, you make sure that you take that drug each and every day, you'll be fine. But it has to be every day. It can't be hit or miss. It has to be every day. If you miss once, you're in trouble. If you get maybe twice a week, that's not good enough. It has to be every day in order for you to have the benefits of this miracle drug. How many think I make that priority? Do you think I would forget about it? Do you think I'd say, man, I'm too tired. Let me check out Instagram first before I take that pill. You think I would do it? My life depends on it. Your life depends on this. Your spiritual life depends on this. This isn't just a book. This is life. It depends on this. You got to make it first. I love this quote by A.W. Tozer. As God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems are solved at once. As you exalt this and put this in the right place, you make it priority. This is first. Everything else is going to work itself out. Revelation 2, verse 4. And the King James Version says, nevertheless, this is Jesus talking to the church at Laodicea, which is like just this church is falling to pieces. He says, I have something against you because you've left your right first. This should be first. Job 23, verse 12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What is he saying there? This comes before breakfast. This comes before dinner. This sustains me. This is life. So many of us were wondering, why is my family falling apart? Now, remember, I said whenever I teach, I always teach you stuff that God's convicted me on. So this is stuff that's going on in my own life. Saying, why is this stuff falling apart? Why isn't this working? Maybe I haven't been feeding my spirit. So I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I told you a couple weeks ago, I read a book, and it's so sad. It said that the average time a Christian minister in America spends in the Bible is 4 minutes a week. 4 minutes a week in here. Think about this now. The Puritans, everyone know the Puritan families back in the 1700s that lived in the United States? They would sit in the mornings with their kids, mom and dad, everyone around the table, and they would read 15 chapters a day. Think about how they esteemed God's word. They were able to thrive, not just survive. Number two, we must have a private place to meditate on God's word. Everyone say place. Meditation on God's word, it's not a group activity. It's not something we do in a small group, but it's something you do in your quiet time alone with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you why on number three. But you have to block out the world. You got to turn your phone off. You can't try to meditate on a scripture while you're watching TV or you're trying to binge on Netflix and, well, I'll just try to, or Hulu's got those paid ads. I'll just try to read a scripture verse during the paid ad. It's not going to work. You got to have a private place. No phones, no email, no computers. You guys love me still? Okay. Number three, we must understand the purpose of meditating on God's word. Everyone say purpose. Say it like you mean it. Purpose. This is very important that you understand this before I tell you how. The purpose of meditation on God's word is to hear from God. God, speak to me. I'm going through it. Speak to me, God. And he's like hitting you in the head with this. The number one way God's going to speak to us is right through here. So when you're not reading this every day, when you don't make this first in your life, when you don't guard it, when you got on the back seat of your car and the window there, it's got dust and cobwebs and kids' candy wrappers stuck to it, we're kind of saying we don't want to hear from God. The purpose of meditating on God's word is to hear from the Lord. When we concentrate on his word and seek guidance, he can use specific scriptures, right, to answer our request. Once we understood what he's told us through his word, our trust in him is going to increase and our worries are going to lessen. We're going to focus on a particular passage of scripture and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what we need to know, learn, and apply. Everyone got me? So that's the purpose behind this, is that we want to hear from the Lord. Number four, everyone okay? Okay, seeing what time is. Okay, we must plan a specific time to meditate on God's word. Plan. Put it in your day timer. Have the same time every day. Get in the habit. Like we said, man, we are in a spiritual gym. If I only go to the gym one time a week, am I going to make any headway? I'm not, am I? It's the same way in God's word. Okay, so number one, what is it? Okay, now come on, you guys. We're getting ready for a workout right now, and I'm not feeling the motivation. I'm not feeling the excitement, man. You can do it. Number one, we got to make it what?
Priority.
Number two, we got to have a private place. Number three,
priority.
Have to understand what this is all about. And number four, plan a specific time. So how many want to know how we do it? Okay. So now, okay, we got the gym already. Now, I'm going to show you the technique. Number one, observation. And so what I'd like to do tonight is I am going to show you in my own life what this is going to look like. Okay, so the passage of Scripture, I pick out a passage of Scripture. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 21. Okay, John 14, 12 through 21. You can write this down and maybe take a look at it later. Okay. So John 14 through 21, first thing I'm going to do, observation. So I'm going to ask these questions if you're taking notes. Who is the writer? To whom is he writing? And what is the passage actually saying? Okay? So what we're doing is we're looking at context, okay? Are you guys with me? Like I said, right, you got to be intentional with this stuff. This is the nitty-gritty, right? I could tell you a really funny story and make y'all laugh. Oh, that's awesome. And you walk out and get whipped by the world all week. Who wants to be whipped by the world? Anybody? No. All right, so this is it right here. Okay, so observation. So I'm going to look at this scripture verse. This is John 14, right? And we're looking at verses 12 through 21. 12, right, is this Jesus, and he's talking. So I do a little bit of research to find out the context. Jesus is talking to his disciples at the Last Supper. He's giving them final instructions. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's also talking about God's word and obeying his commandments, okay? So this is the context. This is like the Last Supper. He's about ready to give his life for each and every one of us. Understand? Okay? All right, and then we're going to talk about who's John writing to. Well, this is the gospel, right? John's writing to all of us, right? Okay, so next, we're going to move on. Next part we're going to do is interpretation. Interpretation. I'm going to ask myself, What does this passage mean, and what can I learn from it? What does this passage mean, and what can I learn from it? So as I read through here, I'm saying, what is Jesus trying to say here? One verse that sticks out to me is that he says in verse 21, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." So Jesus is saying, if I really love him, I'm going to do what he says in this book right here. I'm on interpretation, right? I'm talking to myself. This is my meditation time. I'm not going to, try to work things out where, I really don't have to forgive that person. No, Jesus said I had to forgive him. If I love Jesus, by the scripture, I got to forgive him. Man, I probably shouldn't have treated the kids like I treated the kids this morning. That's not how Jesus would act, right? If I love him, I'm going to do what he says. Do you see how this works? Contemplation, interpretation. What does the passage mean? What am I trying to learn from it? Number three, declaration. Everyone say, declare it.
Declare.
Say, declare it.
Declare.
You have to speak it. As you're reading through your passage, you look for a confession. In my passage here from 12 to verse 21 in John 14, Jesus says here in verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless, Daniel. I will come to you. It may look bad, Daniel, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Do you see how that works? You take that scripture verse, you put it on a 3x5 card, or put it in the notes in your iPhone. Make a little notification of it where it pops up on your phone throughout the day, and every time you see it, you say it 10 times. That's how you chew that cud, and you get every last bit of nutrition out of it. Understand? Okay, so everyone say declaration.
Declaration.
Running out of time. Okay, lastly, application. Application. Based on what you just learned, how do you respond? Every time you and I come to this, it's asking for a response. This book is always talking. It's asking for a response. Like I said here, we got, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," this is in my meditation for today, "he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and even greater works shall he do, because I go to the Father." That verse right there is hardcore. Am I living that way? Am I living, I could do the works Jesus did? It's asking for a response. Based on what I just learned, how should I respond? Do you see how that when we meditate on the Word and we do these four things, it'll drastically change the way you live? No, seriously. It'll rock your world, right? It's telling you as a Christian, do you believe it? Are you going to live it? Are you going to walk according to it? That's how we're going to get spiritually fit. So how do we meditate on God's Word? Number one. All right, that is weak. Number one, class. All right, number two. Number three. And number four. I got a couple minutes left. Speaking about being fit, can we throw that picture up there, guys? Not that picture. That picture. Okay. Does anyone know who this guy is? Floyd. Floyd who? Floyd Money Mayweather. Amen. I got a witness. Okay. You see all those belts right there? He is probably the greatest. Now, don't email me and try to debate Rocky Marciano and all this stuff. I get it. Muhammad Ali, I get it. But let's just go by pure records. Boxing records. This is the man right there, right? The greatest boxer of all time, okay? Let's show the other picture of him. I think we got another one, do we? Okay, so there's Floyd right there. Does he look familiar for those of you that don't follow boxing, right? I found this article one time, and it was Floyd Mayweather's diet. Because he's the greatest champion. I mean, I was a little bit interested to see what he ate, right? Anybody interested to hear what he ate? Well, as I was reading this article in this newspaper, it went on to talk about different things that he ate and different things he included in his diet to be the champion that he is, to face each and every foe and not fall, to have the energy to be the greatest champion of all time. He had to fuel himself. He had to put the right things in. When everybody else was eating Lay's, everybody else was having Hardee's, he was eating right. He was eating clean. And I thought some of those things stuck out to me. They were talking to some nutritionists there, and this is what they said. You only have to look at Floyd Mayweather's physique to know that there's a lot of work. Everyone say a lot of work. That goes into ensuring his body is geared for optimal performance. Excuse me. So that stuff just doesn't happen. To be a champion, it just doesn't happen. Everyone say it's work. But how many want to thrive? Do you really want to thrive? Do you want to overcome? Do you want to see your kids go away to college and come back on fire for God, changing their classroom instead of losing their faith? I do. It takes work. So it says you only have to look at Floyd Mayweather's physique to know that there's a lot of work that goes into ensuring his body is geared for optimal performance. Diet and nutrition are instrumental for his success. With boxing, only one tiny slip up with your nutrition, will cause you to lose the result if your opponent is 100% clean in terms of their nutrition. Avoiding junk food, eating your greens, and getting your 5 a day may seem like a fairly straightforward diet. But for a professional boxer, it's relentless. Everyone say relentless. Relentless. A champion is always training. It's vital to stay close to your fighting weight at all times. Drastically gaining weight, drastically losing weight will shorten your career. What we call it is living the life. If you're not living the boxing life, training and eating well at all times, and your opponent is, you put your success on the line. And I thought about this scripture verse, Matthew 4, verse 4, where Jesus says, people do not live by bread alone, but they live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. If you and I want to be champions, if you and I want to have a strong spirit, if you and I want to overcome everything that the world is throwing at us, we have to get in this book. And we have to do more than a little Bible plan, right, that we quickly go through. But we have to meditate. Everyone say meditate. Does everyone understand the difference now? Did I give you all something that you could take home and do tonight or do tomorrow? Okay, as the team comes out, if every head would be bowed and every eye would be closed. I'd like to say a prayer with you tonight. I'd like to, first off, just ask some of you for a commitment. Now, Dad and I, we signed up. There's a coach, and he actually puts all of our workout together, programming, right? And we have to pay him. And he sends it to me on a special app, and then we follow these workouts every night when we get together and work out. And he's pretty awesome. He's kind of coached all these different games athletes for the CrossFit world, and he's just really, but he's fanatical. And he basically told me, he said, "Listen, man, you can pay me, but are you going to do the work?" He's like, "I'll give you all these workouts, you can pay me, but are you going to do the work?" He said, so many people, they pay, I give them the programming, and they only work out once or twice. And then he said, then they get mad at me because they don't see good results. They don't see good results at all because of their inconsistency. And so he said, "Daniel, before I agree to team up with you and your father," he said, you gotta promise me, you gotta commit, you're gonna do the work. You got to be serious." And you and I, we're trying to live a spiritual life. And man, it's bad out there. And a lot of us, we're trying to go out there and fight these big devils, overcome these huge problems. And man, we're just not doing the work. We got no strength to pull on. We got nothing to pull from. When stuff comes our way, we give up. And so what I'd like to ask for each and every one of us tonight is for a commitment. In this spiritual gym here tonight, is that you tell God, "God, I'm going to commit to put your word first. God, I'm going to commit to attend to your words. Attend to your sayings. God, I'm not just going to look at this book like a book of stories, but I'm going to do something radical. I'm going to live my life according to what that book says. I'm going to let it guide my decisions. I'm going to let it guide my values, what I teach my kids. Even though the world doesn't believe in it, even though the world makes fun of it, God, I'm going to commit to do the work." Everyone say, "Do the work." So I'd like to ask you tonight, this is radical. Now, I would like to ask, we have 1,440 minutes in each and every day. 1,440 minutes in each and every day of the week. And I'd like to ask, across this place, if you would commit to giving 10 minutes a day. Everyone say 10. Only 10. For 7 days, for the next 7 days, starting tomorrow, Thursday, to giving 10 minutes to meditating in God's word. That's radical, right? I'm asking you to do the work, right? I'm asking you to do the things that's going to build your spirit. So, if that's you, you say, "Daniel, this really ministered to my spirit tonight." Now, I've shown you how to do it, what you need to do. I'd like for you I'm going to ask you first off here in a second to raise your hand and let me know. But then secondly, all this next week, this weekend, whenever you see myself or you see Dad, I'd like for you to come up and tell us what you got out of your meditation time. What God has shown you. You don't got to give us a long speech, but 30 seconds. "Pastor, this is what I got. I was reading in Psalms 27, and this is what I got out of it. Pastor, I was reading in John chapter 15, and I realized I need to change the way I'm thinking about this. My whole perspective on this, Pastor, was changed in that 10 minutes of meditation." Now remember, this is different. I showed you what meditation is. This isn't just reading. So if you would, right now, if you say, "Daniel, I commit," I want you to raise your hand across this place. Raise your hand. 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day. Raise your hand across this place. All across this place, hands are going up everywhere. 10 minutes a day. Okay, thank you. You could put your hands down. So let's say this together. Dear Heavenly Father, now say it like you really mean it. Dear Heavenly Father, I esteem and I put your word first. The Bible is the final word. I make the radical, life-changing decision to follow your word no matter what I feel like, no matter what my friends say, no matter what the world says. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to follow your word. And I believe as I do that, I'm going to find good success. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise tonight.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.